Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes. Go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
A 16-year-old cheerleader from Tennessee was shot through her bedroom wall in the middle of the night. Police initially suspected her on-again-off-again footballer boyfriend, who took straight to social media to mourn her murder. But just days before her death, the victim told friends about a mysterious man in black stalking her neighborhood. Police soon uncovered a clue in a video game stunt called the Call of Duty Wallbanger, where the player shoots a victim through a wall and hits their target. Join me now as we find out how 1 Corinthians, a fake kidnapping, and a Full House actor all came together to convict a murderous intruder who never even entered the house. In the fall of 2016, 16-year-old Emma Walker was adjusting to a new life. For the past 2 years, her identity had mostly been tied up in being one half of one of the most popular power couples at Tennessee Central High School. She was Emma Walker, a beautiful blonde cheerleader, dating Riley Gall, the football team's wide receiver. But over the course of her relationship with Riley, Emma's parents had noticed Emma changing. Riley had become increasingly controlling and possessive of Emma throughout their on-again, off-again courtship, dictating who she could see and what she could wear. When Emma's parents previously tried to limit the time the teens spent together, they'd caught Riley sneaking into their house through Emma's bedroom window. Riley even confessed to a friend he'd park at a nearby church to avoid detection before walking the rest of the way to the Walker's home and climbing through Emma's window. The last straw from Emma's parents came on October 30th, 2016, when Emma told them she'd be staying at a friend's house for the night. Instead, they received a call from the police, who found Emma parked in a car with Riley. Emma's parents told her she couldn't see Riley anymore, but instead of being sulky or resentful like you might expect, she seemed to be flourishing that fall. After the breakup with Riley, Emma's parents noticed she seemed to be happier, like she might be returning to her old sunny self, having dinner with her family again and coming out of her room more. She also started socializing with her friends again, a positive sign she was on the road to healing from a toxic relationship. Since her parents had laid down the law on her relationship with Riley a few weeks ago, they'd grounded her as well, and Emma was only allowed to attend school cheerleading practice, and her part-time job at the supermarket. But now, it was a week before Thanksgiving, and Emma had gotten the green light to attend a gathering at a friend's home after a football game. Then, at around midnight at her friend's house, Emma received a strange text from an unknown number. The text said, "Get to your car with your keys. Go alone. I have someone you love." When Emma replied to the text with a warning she was about to call the police, the unknown number texted back, "If you'd like to hear his crying and screams, give him a call." It soon became clear who the caller meant by the loved one they were holding captive when Emma received a disturbing call from her ex-boyfriend, Riley, who was screaming and begging her for help. When Emma's friend, Zach, arrived at the party, she told them about the call and showed him the texts. So they gathered a few other friends and went outside to investigate. When they got to the end of the driveway, Emma and her friends found Riley in the dark, illuminated by a street light. He stumbled towards them, mumbling with his hands over his head, claiming he'd been thrown into a van by masked assailants and then dumped in the driveway. Emma kept walking. It wasn't that she didn't care. It was just that she didn't believe Riley's story. She thought it was a transparent ploy for attention in the wake of their breakup, so she reminded Riley they'd broken up for good and that he had to go. Dejected, Riley wandered off into the night, calling a few more friends to tell them the same story. No one believed him. But just one day after the party, it would become clear that those texts were a warning that danger was imminent. And it would be much worse than the story Riley could make up. Emma Jane Walker was born on March 20th, 2000, in Knoxville, Tennessee, to parents Jill and Mark. Growing up, Emma was outgoing, athletic, and caring. She was a cheerleader in high school, volunteered at an animal shelter, and with excellent grades, was on track to pursue a career in neonatal healthcare. While cheerleading for the Central High Bobcats in her freshman year, 14-year-old Emma caught the attention of Bobcats' number 8 wide receiver, Riley Gall. He was a junior at the time, and even though he already had a girlfriend, he decided to ask Emma out. Emma's parents were impressed by how respectful Riley was in the beginning of the relationship, but soon realized, from monitoring their daughter's texts and Snapchat conversations, that Riley's texts were cause for alarm. They were full of name-calling, harassment, and threats. When Emma's friends began noticing that Riley didn't want to be around them, they initially thought he was shy. But over time, they realized what the real issue was. Riley didn't want Emma spending time with them. Although he wasn't physically abusive, Riley was controlling and coercive, sometimes bombarding Emma with a flurry of harassing texts or waiting outside her workplace when she hadn't asked him to. In the 2 years they dated, Riley and Emma broke up and got back together at least 10 times. A cycle that would continue until they broke up for good when Riley started college in the fall of 2016. With Emma still at Central High School and Riley now a freshman at Merivale College, some might have assumed the breakup was initiated by Riley in an effort to be single and keep his options open now that he was a big man on campus. But it was actually the opposite. Riley didn't want to let go of 16-year-old Emma, and people were beginning to wonder who Riley really was. William Riley Gall was born on August 12, 1998, and raised by his mother and grandparents. Friends and family described young Riley as a fun-loving jokester who was intelligent and both a nerd and jock at the same time. He enjoyed video games like Call of Duty and excelled at school, but he was also a star player on the high school football team. But behind the scenes of his happy-go-lucky persona, Riley struggled with attachment issues and depression. And when the final breakup between Riley and Emma collided with his first semester in college, another period of adjustment, Riley's depression became more desperate. Friends noticed he seemed to be having a hard time making a clean break from Emma and leaning on them for more support.
Emotionally, as I said, it looked kind of just as you're both struggling to break up towards the beginning, things like that, because they were still FaceTime on away games and went home, things like that. So it looked peaceful sometimes, others not. Towards the end, it became very apparent that it was very toxic. He was constantly calling kind of our friend group, saying, crying about it.
Shortly into his first semester at Maryville College, Riley's friends were alarmed to find him parked and passed out in his car in front of the athletic building. He was unconscious, surrounded by pills and beer bottles, along with a suicide note. After the first suicide attempt, Riley was hospitalized and instructed to follow up with psychological counseling. But just a few weeks later, Riley pulled the kidnapping stunt to get Emma's attention. You know how they say, bad things happen in threes? Well, that fall, Riley's suicide attempt and staged kidnapping were two precursors to something more sinister. After that, he had only one plan left, to finally get Emma's attention.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The day after Riley claimed he'd been kidnapped, things got even stranger in the Sturgey Hills neighborhood of Knoxville, Tennessee, and Emma was distraught to find herself in a situation where she felt she needed to call Riley for help. While her parents were out, Emma noticed a figure dressed all in black, wearing shoes taped with black duct tape, prowling outside her home and knocking on her door. Frightened, Emma texted friends, "I'm home alone, and somebody in all black walked down my block, came to my house, and rang the doorbell again and again. I believed I was about to die." In fact, she was so distraught, she resorted to calling Riley, pleading, "I despise you, but I need you right now." And sure enough, Riley came to the rescue, replying, "I'm coming. Just give me a moment. I'm speeding." When Riley later told the story of the man in black, he made himself out to be the hero.
And she was kind of acting frantic over the phone. And she said that someone was trying to get into her house. Somebody was dressed in all black. They had a face mask on. She said that she saw him. She said she thought they were just taking a walk in the neighborhood. And then when she passed them to pull into her driveway, they put on a pair of glasses. And they started, she said they kind of sped up, so she went to the garage, shut the garage, and that's when I dropped all the stuff I was at my stepdad's house and drove all the way to her neighborhood.
When Emma's mom arrived at home, she was furious to find her daughter outside with Riley and told him to leave. Although Emma's parents suspected the figure in black had actually been Riley all along, they took extra measures just in case. If there really was a neighborhood prowler out there, they decided to play it safe and escort Emma to her part-time job. But that Sunday night, things seemed to have calmed down for the walkers. And after work, Emma texted her friend Keegan about a homework assignment before heading to bed shortly after midnight. Before going to sleep that night, Emma asked her parents, for the first time, to set the alarm system in their home. The next morning, Emma's mom woke up to her alarm clock that she set for 5 a.m. Besides getting herself ready for work, she promised to wake Emma up as well. But when Emma's mom touched her daughter's leg to wake her up, she was shocked to find it was cold. At first, Emma appeared to be sleeping, but her mother quickly realized something was very wrong.
And mom in her room.
Well, tell them it was a dream, and when in her room at 6:15, what'd you do?
And trying to wake her up. And
how so?
I touched her on her legs, trying to wake her up. And normally she wakes up pretty quick, like roll my 15 hour or something when I wake her up. And there was no response. And so I went over to her phone and said, Emma, and then there was no response. So I was checking for a pulse, and there was no response. She was unresponsive.
Could you see what was wrong?
I couldn't tell what was wrong.
Okay. And what did you do next?
And I called 911.
Emma's mother couldn't tell what had happened, but she immediately called 911.
I just tried to wake up my daughter for school, and she has no pulse.
How old is she?
She's 16.
You said that she's non-responsive?
Yeah, her tongue's hanging out of her mouth.
Stay on the line. I'm transferring you to rural metro.
When first responders arrived, they cleared Emma's mother from the room and determined Emma had died from a gunshot wound concealed behind her left ear. Initially, detectives assumed she died by suicide until they noticed a strange hole in Emma's bedroom wall. Investigators then found a second hole and two shell casings laying outside in the yard and realized that Emma had been shot and killed in her sleep by someone from outside the home. Emma's family and friends quickly mobilized a candlelight vigil at Central High that following night to process the shock of her death. And later that week, Emma's fellow cheerleaders released balloons in her memory after the Bobcats football game. When police questioned family and friends, they all pointed in more or less the same direction. Everyone told them they should talk to Riley. Hours after Emma's death, Riley tweeted, "That's my beautiful Emma. Rest easy now, sweetheart. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Be sure to remind God about our verse. I love you forever and always." More cryptic tweets followed from Riley, including, "I love you, Emma. I can't be around any of that. It's too soon. I know you know I'm dying to be there, but understand I can't. I love you." Riley also took to Facebook posting, "You're beautiful, you're amazing, you're funny, compassionate, caring. You're my best friend. There's not a human on earth that can make the impact that you've had on my life. I miss you more than anything. You'll weigh heavy on my mind for the rest of my life because no one can fill the void that's in my heart now. It feels like just a couple weeks ago, we were messing around with each other at the game and smiling and enjoying the comfort and warmth of each other. Just knowing that you have someone that's so in love with you gives you so much hope for your life ahead, and it can be taken away just like that." When police brought Riley in for questioning, they were suspicious of how detached and cold he seemed in person compared to the sappy social media sentiments he cranked out soon after Emma's death. But they didn't let on to Riley that they suspected him of anything. Instead, they started the interrogation off by playing good cop, so Riley might think the police were in his corner as the local college football star.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. I know, obviously, you played football at Maryville College. I'm assuming you played football in high school?
Yes.
What position?
Wide receiver, cornerback, punt returner, kick returner, punter.
Must be pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you kicked Hall's butt all over the place last year, so that's been your senior year, right? It's always painful to reach you guys, but good luck. Hang in there and stay at it, work at it.
Police noticed during the interrogation, Riley was now exclusively referring to Emma as the girl instead of her name. He told investigators that on Sunday night, he'd planned on helping Emma with her homework assignment over the phone, but things got too personal quickly, and she said hurtful things to him before hanging up and blocking his phone number. Riley said that after Emma hung up on him, he drove to his grandparents' home and finally returned to his college dorm. He said the finality of his breakup with Emma hit him when he returned to his dorm, and that he ended up crying for 2 to 3 hours in the car by himself while scrolling through old photos on his phone. Throughout his interrogation, police couldn't help but notice that Riley never once asked them what had happened to Emma, even after they asked him what he'd heard through the grapevine had happened.
Tell me what you know about Emma's passing.
I tried to, but anything all of it out because I've heard so many different things. I've heard she just passed in her sleep. I heard she tried to commit. I heard a stray bullet came to the wall, but that made no sense to me because it's her room. If a stray bullet hit the wall, it has to be from the backyard because that's where her window is. I don't know, that one didn't make sense to me, but those are the main three.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be
about
awake.
Snacks.
I've got my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
When detectives asked Riley to tell him about his alleged kidnapping just prior to Emma's death, he was nonchalant in his storytelling, as though the kidnapping had been an insignificant event in the past week.
I don't remember much about it. I remember two guys. Literally, I was Friday night before I got to Noah's, went up to my dad's house, and I pulled in the driveway. And this van pulled up over across the semicircle. And these two guys were like walking across the street. And I was, didn't think anything of it because they weren't like in a rush. And I turned around, I'm about to get in my car. And next thing I know, one of them grabs my bag and the other one's around the corner. And they just like put their hands over my face and just took me to their van or whatever.
The follow-up questions Riley got from detectives after his version of the alleged kidnapping started to show him they might not be on his side after all.
And then what happened?
I don't remember much. They just had me. I couldn't see anything. They had something over my eyes. I haven't told my mom or anybody about this.
Oh, really?
No.
Why not?
Terrified.
So, I mean, do you have any money? No. Any gambling debts? You gamble? No. So these guys just randomly picked you out for no reason?
I guess.
Riley told investigators he'd been knocked out cold before coming into the driveway at the party, which is why he was disoriented and rubbing his head when Emma approached him.
I woke up where Emma was. In her friend's yard. It's right on Castle Pike. I literally remember them, my head ached for the rest of the night when I got back 10 hours after that.
You still know when they were allowed?
Yeah. They thought I was messing with them. That's why I haven't talked to anyone about it, because no one would take me seriously.
The bad cop then finished the interrogation with a tip to Riley that the noose was tightening based on what they knew about the gun. Because unbeknownst to Riley, his grandfather had come forward to report that his gun was missing.
Outside the house today, the house was shot a couple rounds. Alright. The rounds that were found out there, hold on.
Okay.
The rounds that were found out there came from your grandfather's gun. I don't know where the gun's at. Who would want to take your grandfather's gun and take it to that house and shoot at that house? I do not know where the gun is. Do you know anybody who'd want to do that? I don't know anyone that's ever want to hurt that girl.
Police still didn't have enough evidence to arrest Riley until two of his best friends came forward with a secret. Just one day after Emma's shocking murder, Riley's best friends, Alex and Noah, contacted law enforcement with a confession. Riley had asked them for advice on how to clean fingerprints off a gun. The story Riley told them was that he was so afraid for his own life after Emma had been murdered that he stole his grandfather's gun, and now he needed to wipe his fingerprints from it so he wasn't implicated in her murder. Riley tried assuring his friends he wasn't suicidal at the time, just afraid the same person who murdered Emma might come after him as well. He told his friends he hadn't killed Emma, but needed to get rid of the gun he'd stolen from his grandfather so that it didn't raise any suspicion. After sharing this information with police, Alex and Noah agreed to participate in a sting operation with law enforcement. Immediately, they were wired up with microphones, a transmitter where police could listen in, and a video camera hidden inside a key fob. That night, Riley, Alex, and Noah gathered on a couch at Noah's house and discussed their plan to head out to the Tennessee River and dispose of the gun. But first, Riley held court, telling them that if police asked them anything else about the gun, they should say they weren't reliable witnesses because they were on drugs.
What I'm saying is if I have to go to court in front of a grand jury or anything and you have to testify, or if the cops come and talk to you again, whenever you talk to them, just be like, you were too afraid to tell them that you were on acid because you thought you were going to get in trouble.
No, that's true. I would never mention that, yeah.
Yeah, and if anything about that gun, just say, I must have misunderstood or something because I was tripping balls. I really don't know what was going on. He was just, like, Riley was just complaining to me about some stuff. I guess I thought I heard something about a gun. And his grandfather thinking that he took it. You know, if you tell them you're on LSD, you were drunk, and you're high, your mind was altered. Whatever statement you give them wasn't a straightforward answer. If you just tell them that you were on acid, high, and drunk, and just you didn't really understand what I was saying, you just kind of went along with it. I just tell them I was the only sober person here.
Riley proposed that his friends help him get rid of the gun at the Bluffs, a spot overlooking the river near the University of Tennessee campus.
But I'm trusting you guys, like, with my life, because, I mean, this is 70 years in jail if I get convicted of something I didn't do. And are you busy right now? Are you about to do anything? Can we go to the Bluffs? Because I need to get rid of the gun. I'm going to throw it in the water. They'll never find me.
I mean, I got your back, man.
If it's in the Tennessee River, they will never find it. So that's why I just want to eliminate that from the equation as a whole.
I see. Cover your bases. I feel you. That's your decision.
But before they set off, Riley decided on the next most important order of business. Hot Pockets.
I'm fine. Let me grab a snack. Sorry, you want a hot pocket?
I'm starving.
I'm so hungry.
I would love a hot pocket.
After the Hot Pockets, the three teens drove to the Bluffs around 11 p.m. on November 22nd. And just as Riley was about to drop the gun in the river, police swooped in and arrested him red-handed.
What
you got? Leave your hands out of the vehicle.
The trash bag Riley was preparing to throw in the river also helpfully contained evidence that pointed toward him being the prowler in black who stalked Emma the night before her murder, along with his grandfather's 9mm pistol and a magazine with 4 live rounds. The bag contained black gloves, white gloves, a pair of black sweatpants, a black hooded zip-up sweatshirt, and black shoes with black duct tape wrapped around the soles, just like the ones Emma reported the prowler was wearing. In a phone call from jail, Riley tearfully told his mother, "I promise I didn't kill her." In the wake of the murder and Riley's quick arrest, Central High School was suddenly thrust into the national news. The day Riley was released on bond, Central High School's science teacher posted an unusual update on Facebook, showing just how much attention the murder had gotten in the media. The science teacher wrote, "In the light of today's bad news, I thought I'd share something positive. This afternoon, I received an email from Candace Cameron Bure's personal assistant informing me that she will be donating an autographed photo, one of her books, a CD, and 2 t-shirts for our auction. Emma's story is reaching people across the country and the world, and it will drown out all the negativity." On May 1st, 2018, Riley Gall pleaded guilty at Emma Walker's murder trial to reckless endangerment. The defense claimed Riley fired the shots into the Walker's home, but never intended on hitting or killing Emma, only to scare her. They said Riley only intended to create a situation he could rescue Emma from, so he fired the gun so he could swoop in like a hero. The defense also used Riley's kidnapping stunt as an example of how effective he was at getting attention.
I submit to you what the evidence will show is that what Riley was trying to do is get an opportunity to see Emma. So he was trying to do. They'd been in a 2-year relationship. He wanted to talk to her. He wanted to read her. And she wouldn't talk to him, which is sort of the history of their relationship. But it was successful. Right? Because what you're going to hear is Adam McDonald was one of the people everybody interviewed. And what she said was then, and I suspect she'll say it now, was that she looks out the window and she says, "Emma, that's Riley." And what does Emma do? She goes outside. She didn't have to go outside.
The defense also pointed out that the prowler dressed in black the night before Emma's murder, although captured on security footage, was not definitively identified or proven to be Riley by witnesses.
It was not Mr. Gall who was trying to scare Emma or break into her house or whatever they was trying to do. The person on Jill Carney's video was not Riley. And I think it's very, very interesting that Haley McDonald, the bookends of the child witnesses, Sarah Seaton was first, Haley McDonald was last, that it was not shown to her to say, "You know what? That's Riley on that video. I know his gait. I know how he carries himself." They could have shown through if it already came in, but they didn't do that, because I'm not sure.
The defense reminded the jury that Emma had confirmed she didn't think Riley was the same person as the man in black, and that she'd FaceTimed him.
Emma didn't say it was Riley, and Emma, in fact, said it was not him. And at 10:33:36 at Exhibit 20, which you can see, Emma texted the group, he FaceTimed me speeding over here. For it to be Riley, he would be running toward the pool. Jill Walker did not describe Riley as being out of breath, sweating, or other characteristics of Riley running all over Sturkey Hills.
Despite the defense's attempts to make the jury doubt Riley was the stalker, or doubt his intentions to kill, the prosecution laid out the scene so plainly it couldn't be ignored.
On November 21, 2016, in the safety and sanctity of her home, she was shot and killed by a gunshot wound to the back of her head, right behind her left ear, when this man crept into her backyard at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cover of darkness, dressed in all black from head to toe, black jacket, black hoodie, black sweatpants, black gloves, gun, black shoes, taped shoes, and discharged a firearm into her house not once but twice, both with a trajectory intended and designed to kill Emma Walker. And so when you think about that sanctity of home, Mark Walker, her father, who's on the other side of the house, and June Walker will never sleep so safely again. They're going to tell you that they don't sleep through the night anymore.
Riley's roommate testified that Riley had arrived at the dorm around 4:25 a.m. and had gone to sleep. Cell phone data placed him near Emma's house at 3:45 a.m., around the time when neighbors reported hearing a gunshot. But since Riley had changed his story to admit that he was there and did fire a shot, so he could plead guilty to reckless endangerment, this information was no longer damning evidence.
This is a map of his cell tower locations on Sunday night, just before midnight, and approaching up all the way until 4:30 when he comes back to Maryville College. A lot went into this, and this was a map of opportunity to show you that he was actually in Knoxville around the Carbondale address when the homicide occurred, but he kind of took that away when he stood up and said, I've been guilty, I didn't shoot through houses. This isn't as important as it used to be, but nonetheless, it showed you that prior to midnight is in green and post midnight is in red. Gunshots were heard in the neighborhood about 3 a.m. In the green, prior to midnight, he's still in Knoxville. And you're going to hear testimony from his buddy Noah that on Sunday night, they're hanging out. Riley says he's got to go back to college to do homework for classes. And so you're going to see the first data point beyond midnight is he's back in Maryville already.
The prosecution referred to the murder weapon as Papa's stolen Glock and referenced the Call of Duty wallbanger move when questioning a detective as something that Riley, who was a fan of the game, might have intentionally emulated in the murder.
Detective Merritt, you did also, at our request, research some video game play.
Yes, sir. I did. I've played a video games in the past. Okay.
What is a wallbang?
Wallbang refers to a first-person shooter game. It refers to actually shooting through the wall to, in fact, kill the enemy or the adversary on the other side.
The prosecution also argued that Riley was so familiar with the layout of the Walker's home that he intentionally positioned himself to shoot the victim where her head laid on her pillow to cause the most damage possible, not, as the defense argued, to simply scare her. In May 2018, after 5 hours of deliberation, Riley Gull was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. He was also found guilty of stalking, stealing, reckless endangerment, and possession of a handgun while committing a felony. At his sentencing, Riley offered a canned apology, delivered with so little emotion that it sounded like as if it had been written by AI.
First and foremost, I would like to sincerely apologize to the Walker family for causing nothing but pain and turmoil to their entire family. My words may carry little to no value to you, but I found it imperative to let you know the truth. That I'm sorry I took Emma away from you. That I robbed you of the experience of being able to watch your daughter grow up. Again, I'm sorry. I would also like to apologize to my family for the pain and embarrassment I put you through. I love you, and I hope that you can forgive me. I know that nothing I can do will ever bring Emma back or alleviate the pain that I've caused. But what I can do is tell the truth of what happened that night. My intentions were not, and never have been, to cause Emma any physical harm. At times, I was a terrible boyfriend. I caused her emotional and psychological pain during the 2 years that we were together. But I never once even imagined to cause her any physical harm. My intentions that night were never to harm Emma, let alone take her life.
With an eye that was obviously on his appeal, Riley went on to claim that he never intended to harm Emma. At times, he glanced at the judge with an expectant look.
I wanted to scare her, to frighten her so bad that she would have no choice but to talk to me again, to confide in me. I would be there to comfort her and to win her back. I loved Emma, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about her or what I did. I know that I can't be forgiven, and this will never be forgotten. But now that the truth is out, I pray that it's enough to show that I never meant to take Emma's life. Again, I'm sorry.
In June 2021, Riley Gall sought a new trial on claims of insufficient evidence, but his motion was denied. In memory of Emma Walker, Central High School annually awards a scholarship to a selected graduate with a minimum 3.0 GPA that's pursuing a career in healthcare and has a history of community service. The scholarship memorial plaque shows a photo of Emma flexing her muscles. In memory for her love of animals, a dog park was also named after Emma, as well as a neonatal room at the East Tennessee Children's Hospital. March 24, 2017 was also declared Emma Jane Walker Day, a day when her family encourages people to practice random acts of kindness. Today, Emma's mom advocates for victims of domestic and teen dating violence to raise awareness that relationship abuse can escalate quickly and that controlling behavior can end in murder, even if it doesn't start with physical abuse. Emma's mom has also been advocating for Marcy's Law to be passed in Tennessee, which would enable victims to be notified of specific public proceedings throughout the criminal justice process and to be present and heard during those proceedings. Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @madnesspod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.